social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgive. And buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slide, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is UCY.TV, and I'm your host of Rock the Boat. It is the 11th of January, 2018, the year that we start to turn this mess around. I don't even know. Well, I'm going to start with this. We had a massive global warming come through here. It's presently around 9, 10 degrees Celsius above zero. Everybody's been freezing their tail off for a long time now. I mean, really freezing. We broke records all over the place. But that was just weather, apparently. It had nothing to do with long-term temperatures that I guess we call man-made global warming. But forgot to make some global warming for the longest time, buried up to our eyeballs in the snowbanks, and then today it's 9 or 10 above, which is okay with me because it's cut the hell out of the snow. Still got lots of snow, but it knocked it down pretty good. We got a lot of wind and some warm temperatures, and then I guess we go back into global warming because we're supposed to have a flash freeze and then back to minus 10 with lots of snow again. And we don't see any real warm temperatures again till, I don't know, maybe April. I'd really like to get in a room with David Suzuki and Al Gore and my local council and the premier of my province and the prime minister of my country and give them all a good swift kick in the ass for perpetrating this fraud for so long. And I'd also like to give all opposition leaders and parties a good swift kick in the ass for not standing up to the fraud, but then they're up to their eyeballs in it as well. So that leaves just us, the people, to kick all these frauds in the butt and get them off our shores. Send them somewhere, but get them away from us. Now, we got all kinds of weird stories here. One of them, if I can find it here, is some guy. Let's see if I can find this story. Where the hell did that story get to? Anyways, there's a story in here about s- Sarnia, Ontario, while I'm at it, Sarnia, Ontario had 40 water main breaks because of, I guess, global warming, frozen water mains all over the city. But this is a story I want to talk about. Here's a man from sort of my neck of the woods, maybe 3/4 of an hour from me. A wanted man arrested after more than a decade. Now, what is it that this dude did that they're still hunting him down after a decade? Must be pretty freaking bad. Like, he's a rapist, he's a murderer. What the hell is this guy doing? What has he done? Well, Gray County OPP, this is the same Gray County OPP that has been harassing Michael Smith, it was West Gray, has been harassing Michael Schmidt over milk for 24 years. So the Gray County OPP have a man in custody more than 10 years after issuing a warrant for his arrest. Police were contacted by the Canadian Border Services Agency at Toronto Pearson Airport earlier this week, stating they had a man in custody who was wanted by Gray County OPP for an outstanding arrest warrant from 2006. The warrant had been issued for 66-year-old Kim Roman. What the hell did this guy do? Well, he was wanted on charges of production of cannabis marijuana, production of cannabis resin, and possession of cannabis marijuana for the purpose of trafficking. Those charges were the result of an investigation at a property on the Southgate Road 14 in the township of Southgate in September 2006. Gray County OPP officers took Roman into their custody Tuesday. He was returned to the Chatsworth OPP detachment. I used to live in Chatsworth at one time, where he was held pending a bail hearing in Owen Sound. Wait a minute here. This is starting to sound like the milk deal. So this guy grew some weed and made some oil and apparently took off when he was caught up with and charged for trafficking. And this is like 12, 11 years later. He's facing court and is being held pending a bail hearing. Now, for those who don't know it, weed, marijuana, cannabis, whatever the hell you want to call it, is a natural growing plant. Now, grass is also a natural growing plant. Cows eat that stuff, you know. That's what they're supposed to eat, but the factory farms, the factory milk barns, feed the cattle all kinds of garbage, and mostly corn, which is very difficult on the animals. All these factory milk farms are nothing short of animal abuse. But the grass grows naturally. Michael's grass grew naturally, and his farm had no pesticides, no herbicides, nothing on it other than what God intended it to grow, which was grass, to feed the cows, which produced milk for the benefit of people. But Michael's been chased around for 24 years because, well, I guess he was trafficking in milk. He's a milk trafficker. What he was doing was supplying good, healthy food to people who wanted it, but the government didn't like that because they don't like competition. So here now we got a guy who, 11 years after he got busted for trafficking something that grows naturally, he's in the same boat as Michael, really, because, you see, the government now is the trafficker of weed. They've legalized weed, but the government has control over it. So just like Michael, where the government through the Milk Marketing Board has control of the milk, their milk they can traffic. Their weed they can traffic. Your weed you can't, and Michael's milk he can't. And, you know, when you look up the word traffic, you find the word distribution, and that's what they were chasing Michael down all the time, distribution of raw milk. So the government is actually the trafficker, because traffic is trade, commerce, carry on trade. Buy and sell. The verb traffic, which would be, I guess, if you're trafficking, is to buy and sell. And preserving the original commercial sense related, trafficker, trafficking, inserted to preserve the K sound, yada, yada, yada. So, trafficking is to buy and sell. So Michael wasn't supposed to sell his milk, and the people he was selling it to weren't supposed to buy it because, well, they were trafficking in milk. And this other guy was trafficking in weed. He was growing it, producing it, and selling it to somebody who wanted to buy it. Same thing Michael was doing to milk. Producing milk for people who wanted to buy it. That's trafficking, trade, commerce, carrying on trade. But unless you're licensed, you can't do it. And the government decides who gets licensed. And they control that. So in other words, they take on they go into the realm of monopoly. But they're still doing the same thing. They're trafficking. If it's okay for the government to traffic milk and the government to traffic weed, then how in the hell is it not okay for you to traffic weed or milk? In other words, buy and sell. Because the government doesn't like competition, because the government is a corporation. And they will beat you over the head with a stick in order to cut any competition. But this is really stupid. I mean, this guy got busted 11 years ago. I can tell you, he caused nobody any harm. People were probably going to him because they either enjoyed smoking weed or the oil, or they were using it for medicinal purposes, or which the government said you couldn't do, but now the government's gone and licensed it for themselves and their friends, including the ex-commissioner of the biggest police force in Ontario, and a multitude of politicians are all now in the weed business. These are the same people who are throwing people in jail, and they're probably going to throw this guy in jail for trafficking. But we're not allowed to buy and sell unless they tell us we can buy and sell, which is no good. Absolutely no good whatsoever. And when you follow this stuff through, when you go through some of the words, you find that it also includes just distributing, which is the same thing, doing commerce, trade, that they have the handle on it, and you can't interfere with it unless they pass legislation, which is that licentious bullshit. You don't need a license to buy and sell something that's natural, something that was put here for our benefit, something that our Creator gave us dominion over. So now we moved away from creation to slavery. And I feel bad for this guy that got dragged back to West Gray and is being held without bail, or waiting for a bail hearing, which he won't likely get because they'll say he could run. But this is the irony of this. You have the government out here promoting weed sales all over the place. We've got a weed plant being built here just north of my town. And the real irony of that is that particular weed manufacturer is, or that outfit is called 7 Acres. And when I was a teenager, somebody was growing 7 acres of weed just outside of town north of us here. And huge hoo-ha, with cops in from everywhere, helicopters, the whole nine yards, cutting and burning the 7 acres of weed. Now we got the government licensing people to grow weed, and the place they're growing it in is called 7 acres now. 7 acres of greenhouse. Now, you know, the plant is supposed to grow outside where it gets all its nutrients out of the ground and it's healthy and yada, yada, yada. But the government weed's going to be growing under glass. But there's really not much natural light getting in there because they don't want people to see what they're doing, apparently, from one guy who was talking to this working up there. And it's all going to be... grow lights in that, which is a very expensive way to grow something. So the whole world's screwed up. I mean, it's completely screwed up. And we got to learn to stand up to this nonsense. You know, you made it. I have no idea. I would like to get the stats on it sometime. How many people's lives were junked or messed with or... you know, how many days the people spent in jail over a natural product, a natural plant. You know, how much money was extracted from the public to give to the lawyers. Woe on to you sons of bitches lawyers who are also judges. Can't be judged unless you're a lawyer. Extracted from the pockets of these good people. Over weed, now we got the ex-commissioner of the OPP, largest police force, well, they basically are the police force for Ontario, and all of these grubby little politicians who set themselves all in place so when it was legalized, they'd all profit from it, when for decades prior, they were just beating up on people. And now this poor son of a bitch, 11 years later, is going to get beat on because he was trafficking. He was in the business of buying and selling weed products, which is exactly the same thing the government's involved in. But they somehow can do it, and we're supposed to praise them for their efforts, and everybody else can go to jail. And it's not going to change. I would think that now that the government has got the legal right to sell weed and grow weed, that those who are growing and selling weed are going to get dumped on even harder than before, just like they did with Michael. I mean, there's no logic here. Wait a minute. You sell pasteurized milk. I don't. I sell normal milk that hasn't been bastardized with the pasteurization process for the benefit of the people that want it. But you tell me I can't produce it. I mean, the cows produce the milk. All Michael's doing is refrigerating it, having it tested at the labs to make sure it's 100% safe for the people. And the government continues to say that if you drink raw milk, you will likely die, even though there's milk producers all over this province and all over North America and all over the world producing raw milk for those who want it, who drink it, who aren't dropping dead all over the place. But then that's the same bullshit they talked about weed, you know, being a gateway drug. You'll jump off roofs, you'll rape people, and all this kind of stuff. All bunk. But now that they've got it legalized, why, it's the most wonderful plant in the world. It has medicinal benefactor or beneficiary or benefits to it. And you should love your government for legalizing weed. And you should also love your government for picking this guy up 11 years later for doing the exact same thing we're doing, the government's doing. But you should look at him as a criminal and look at us as your benefactor. It's bloody ridiculous. I don't know how stupid people can possibly be or how much longer they can remain this stupid. Okay, what do we got here? I mean, I just looked at this real quick. This is my communist broadcast news here. Manitoba judge orders $5,000 restitution payment to victim in child pornography case. Now, I hope I'm not going to read what I think I'm going to read here. For the first time, Manitoba, Georgia's a judge has ordered a man convicted of possessing child pornography to pay restitution to one of the victims. On Thursday, provincial court judge Robert Hendrix ordered Steve Saroma, or whatever, former elementary school teacher. Well, why not, eh? Did I mention that the senior policy advisor for the early child sex education program here in Ontario is a convicted pedophile? And here we have an elementary school teacher. Get your kids the hell out of the schools. Okay? Get them out. I want to see every public school vacant ASAP. Because if you're putting your children into them schools, then you cannot, and I mean you cannot, look your kid in the face and say, I love you. You're lying to your kid. You're lying to yourself. Because if you're putting your kids into those public school systems, then you are an accessory to crime. Mental health crime, physical abuse. And I'm not talking about bullies. Not the bullies the government's presenting to you. I'm talking about the bullies who are the government. You know, the ones that are telling your children you got to believe this and you got to believe that when it's all bullshit. You know, the government who is just filling your child's veins full of poison through these stupid vaccinations. You know, you send your child to a public school, you guarantee that that child is going to be mentally and physically abused by the system. Don't tell me you love your children if those kids are sitting in a public school system. You get them the hell out and get them out now. Because otherwise, you're accessory to crime. So this guy was sentenced to 2 years, less a day, in jail in November 2017 after being convicted of possessing child pornography. That's your elementary school teaching system. But Hendrix waited several weeks to rule on whether this guy should pay the restitution of $10,000 sought by the Crown for one of the victims. So in his ruling, the judge said the spread of the images cost the victim financially in a significant way. He referenced the victim's impact statement, which described medical expenses and ongoing counseling throughout her life. In her statement, the victim cited nightmares, flashbacks, panic attacks, and difficulty sleeping because she knows the images continue to be shared. There has been and will be ongoing victimization, the judge said. The case marks the first time a Manitoba judge has sought restitution in a child pornography case, and is one of the of only a few similar requests in Canada. The ruling could help increase the number of similar claims in Canada, says a lawyer for the Canadian Center for Child Protection. This is something that has not happened with these fulsome reasons before in this country. It's a win. It's great, said Monique St. Germain, a lawyer for the Canadian Center for Child Protection. We'll see what happens from here, but I think this opens the door and certainly will start a national conversation on the issue. In Canada, the criminal code requires restitution only to be made in cases where the amount that should be paid out is readily ascertainable, St. Germain said. That's say, let's say somebody steals my TV, and then that person is charged with theft under $5,000. The restitution order might be the cost of a replacement TV, she said. But it's more difficult to identify a monetary sum in child pornography cases. How about firing squad? How about being hung in the public square? That, I think, would put a bit of a dent in the abuse of these children better than a $5,000 restitution order. Now, if I'm not mistaken, four Muslims here got $10 million settlements. $100 million was given out to the RCMP, which is the Queen's police force, because some of the officers felt bullied or felt there was a homophobic thing in the RCMP, or they just felt generally not well. So they didn't quit the force, but you, the people, the public, you forked over $100 million for these so-called strong people who turn out to be limp-wristed wusses who are supposed to be the police force, get a payout of $100 million. And this kid who was abused gets restitution of $5,000? Are you freaking serious? But then, we don't want to go too hard on the pedophiles, do we? Because they're in, most of them are in positions of authority connected to the government in one way or another. And we wouldn't want to go too hard on those people. Let's see. Only a handful of cases have involved restitution in Canada, and all were driven by the same Ontario lawyer. St. Germain said one of the successful claims was on behalf of the same victim to whom Schumann had been ordered to pay restitution. She was awarded $9,200 in the earlier case. The woman, now in her 30s, was raped by her father when she was a child. Images of the abuse have been viewed and traded among child pornography offenders for decades. St. Germain said the judge's ruling is significant because the judge acknowledged the victim ongoing suffering caused by continuing dissemination of the materials. Now, again, we're talking about $10 million a head for these Muslims that say they were abused wherever they were being held. What the hell's that got to do with me or you? But here's a Canadian girl who was abused by her father, and pictures have been, she's 30 now, and somehow the pictures got on the internet and they're being slammed all over the place. And the thing that kills me was, this is what kills me. The woman, now in her 30s, was raped by her father when she was a child. Images of the abuse have been viewed and traded among child pornography offenders for decades. Well, if you know this, I mean, where are you getting this stat from? Somebody apparently knows that the abuse has been viewed and traded among child pornography offenders for decades. Well, have these people been arrested? Not that I'm aware of, but where do you get this data from? You know, who's tracking this? The police? I mean, where'd that sentence come from? St. Germain said the judge's ruling is significant because the judge acknowledged the victim's ongoing suffering caused by continuing dissemination of the materials. Child pornography is the sort of crime that every time somebody accesses it, every time somebody new is possessing it, every time someone is distributing it, it causes additional trauma to that victim, she said. And it means that they can't get out from behind the abuse that has occurred. Said the ruling is good news for child pornography victims across Canada. Well, I don't really think so. If you're out there abusing children, well, the very least that you should do is be castrated. You should theoretically be just hung in the town square. But at the very least, you should be castrated. And I don't think I'm being too harsh on that. I mean, if you're an adult and you're abusing a child, there's no excuse, no how, no way. There is no excuse. You know, every day I look at a paper, you know, we see, you know, well, the priest thing's been going on since forever. But, you know, teachers, hockey coaches, ballet teachers, coaches, you know, all of these so-called authoritarian people take advantage of these children. And in a lot of cases, it goes on for a long time. And a lot of people know what's going on and they ain't saying nothing about it. Those people who are not saying and not out in it ought to be hung in the town square alongside the perpetrator. If you know somebody is harming a child, you better get on it quick. So that's one story. We have a story that I didn't bring up before. I guess there's a little bit of controversy about it now. Some nudist group in Calgary rented one of the indoor pools in the city. And they're wondering why some people are a little upset about it. I may run into that story before we get done this today anyways. Let's see what else we got here. McDonald's Canada apologizes, pulls ad offending museum supporters. Now, I don't know what museum this is. I hope it's the Aga Khan's museum. Probably not. Radio Spot compared value of spending $5 at a museum to spending $5 at McDonald's. McDonald's has apologized and pulled a radio ad that upset supporters of Canadian museums. A 15-second piece compared the value of spending $5 at McDonald's to spending $5 on a museum tour. Excuse me. You could get a museum tour for $5. The male narrator says, a woman playing the role of a museum guide then cuts in. There were dinosaurs and then there weren't, she says. Okay, then exit through the gift shop. Huh? The narrator then returns to inform listeners that alternatively they could spend their $5 plus tax on a value meal with a sandwich, fries, and a drink at participating restaurants. Ad was insidious, museum director says. The piece drew the ire of museum supporters, including the Exploration Place CEO, Tracy, whatever, in Prince George, British Columbia. I get it. It's probably intended to be funny, but it's insidious, she told CBC Radio West. It targets the exact demographic that we're trying to reach, young families and kids, to tell people that you're better off going to McDonald's than you are going to an educational institution for an informal learning session. The advertisement, which was running in markets across Canada, upset other museums and their supporters, prompting calls for the piece to be pulled. In an email, external communications banner from McDonald's Canada, Adam whatever told Canadian or CBC the company was doing just that. It was meant as a humorous way of promoting the new five McPick meal deal. The $5 McPick meal deal, and in no way meant to offend. We appreciate that museums are trusted, respected, and informative places about Canadian culture and apologizes for any offense. Well, now I got to call McDonald's because they're apologizing for what they did, and they are talking about Canadian culture. Well, we don't have any Canadian culture, McDonald's. Didn't you listen to the Prime Minister of Canada? We have no culture. We're a culturalist society, and that's why we've become the first post-national state. So I may phone McDonald's Canada tomorrow and ask them for an apology for suggesting that Canada has a culture. She says, this lady says, she thinks the apology was very sincere. I never thought McDonald's went out of out with the ad campaign trying to offend museums. I just think they missed the mark. She also said she has been up until midnight responding to texts and emails from other people upset by the ad. The best part of about it all is of this was learning just how much the exploration place visitors love us, she said. Well, I don't really trust the museums either, and I sure as hell don't consume McDonald's food. If you eat that crap, I mean, who in the hell in their right mind would say, let's go to McDonald's and get a $5 McPick meal deal? I mean, people rush to get this shit. Like, I won't eat anywhere. If you ain't got a fork and a real plate, I ain't eating there, period. Let's see. Someone anonymously donated a record $100 million to the CAMH for research. Now, this is going to get spooky. Anonymous donor gives Center for Addiction and Mental Health a record $100 million. Canada's largest mental health hospital has been given $100 million by an anonymous donor with the goal of developing cures for psychiatric conditions that affect almost 7 million Canadians. There's only, say, 36 million of us. this is the new growth industry, mental illness. Now, I don't know who coughed up the money, George Soros, the Aga Khan, maybe the Canadian government did it anonymously. The gift to the Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto will create the Discovery Fund to support next-generation scientists conducting research aimed at directly transforming care. Ooh, I hate the word transforming. Transformation. CAMH says it is the largest donation made toward mental health research in Canadian history. Meanwhile, in Kingston, Ontario, 12 people protested outside John A. McDonald's old law offices, which was turned into a local pub, and it was called John's Pub or whatever the hell it was. And 12 people went outside and protested the fact that the pub had the name of the first prime minister of this so-called country, and the owner submitted and changed the name. But hey, mental health. You know, who's mentally ill? Well, probably the 12 protesters and the owner of the pub. They're all nuts. Anyway, CAMH president and CEO Dr. Catherine Zenz said the money will be invested in fundamental research and clinical innovation to improve the mental health of individuals in Canada and around the world. said the fund will enable CAMH to develop the next generation of leading early and mid-career scientists. The money will also allow to foster research focused on understanding disease mechanisms. There's that word again, mechanisms. And that is exactly what Warburg said in the 1950 Senate hearings. We need mechanisms that are of a global value that can only be dealt with at the global level. So this is connected to the WHO, which is the World Health Organization. So we have a now we have a global mental health problem, and that's why we are saying here individuals in Canada and around the world, we need these mechanisms. Anyways, improving diagnostics and new ways to predict, prevent, and recover from mental illness. Now, predict, that's what the scientists do. They predict, well, they predict that the if we don't give up all of our freedoms and all of our rights and all of our resources and we do not give up or we don't succumb to the end of nation states, that the scientists, the climate scientists, of course, predict, because they have no data to do anything with. They predict that in the course of the next 100 years or so, they've been predicting that for a long time, so we must be down to about 60 years now, that within the next 60 years or so, if we don't do everything they tell us to do, that the global medium temperature could rise 2 degrees centigrade, which will basically end all life on the planet. How do people believe this shit? I don't understand. I guess they go down and have whatever that frickin' McDonald's meal deal was called. I guess if you're eating that shit all the time, I guess it's pretty much to get you to believe anything. Because if you actually believe you're eating food when you get their McPick deal, you probably do suffer from a mental illness of some sort. Let's see. The philanthropy is helping to change the future of mental illness. We are eternally grateful to this donor for investing $100 million in our capacity to generate world-leading discovery. Okay? Not Canadian, not Toronto, not Ontario, but world-leading discovery, and to invest in some of the high-risk, high-reward research that usually doesn't get top funding priority. Let's see. At the announcement, a former patient of the facility shared his personal story of struggling and overcoming clinical depression and the importance of research to advance the mental health care. No one knows what the next breakthrough treatment for mental illness will be, but we all know that it's donations such as this one that will make it possible, said Tom Churchill. I send my heartfelt thanks to the donor. Thanks for me, and thanks on behalf of all the people who this funding will help over the coming years. Now, the CAMH down in Toronto, I'm trying to remember the original name of it, but this place had a very nefarious reputation. This was not looked upon as a good place. These doctors were not looked upon as someone that was trying to help somebody. These people, stories that came out of this place, was not good. I'll see if I can dig up the original. I can't remember what it is. No script warning when I punch that in. Why is that? Let's see. What the hell was the name of that place? The provincial lunatic asylum, it was then known, first opened its doors. Throughout the years, there had been numerous name changes. The Toronto Lunatic Asylum, the Provincial Lunatic Asylum, 999 Queen. But that's not the name I'm looking for. They probably buried it by now. But this was not a place that was looked upon as a good place. It had a very bad reputation. Center for Addiction and Mental Health, Queen Street. Addiction Medicine Service, Eating Disorder and Addiction Clinic, First Episode Learn Clinic, Gender Identity Clinic, Home for Special Care, yada, yada, yada. But I can't... Whew. I wish I could remember what the hell... Wait a minute. They've got this 99 Queen Street West history. Well, 999, I guess, is 666 upside down, isn't it? And then we got another headline down here, 99 Queen Street, or 999 Queen Street haunted. Toronto Mental Hospital, lunatic photos. Let me see if I can get the history of this place. But this is the problem. It had a very bad reputation. And what they're doing there now is going to have a very bad reputation. You know, this is, you got to understand, everything that they're doing goes all back to evolution. Right, the scientists became the priests. They had to kill God in order to bring forward ecology, and the scientists replace the priests. So you couldn't question the priests, you can't question the scientists. They can tell you any shit they want. And you know, it's you're a heretic really if you question the scientists. And they have a science label for everything in your life now. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is. You can find a scientific label for it. And they're the ones that are doing the evolution thing. Because when they said they killed God was the middle of the 19th century, which was the mid 1800s, when evolution was kicked up. So all this transformation bullshit they're always talking about, okay, is man-made evolution, scientific evolution, the island of Dr. Moreau, okay? They have no evidence anywhere of evolution, but they have put themselves in the position of God now. And they are pushing the evolution of man, which is basically the destruction of man. But I feel bad for anybody that's going, you know, going, oh boy, they got $100 million. Well, who the hell forked over $100 million? Who is this anonymous donor who had access to $100 million he wasn't using to give into this mental hospital, asylum, most nefarious of nefarious places, for the benefit of who? You? Not a chance. Not a chance. You know, and don't be surprised. They start, you know, that kind of cash. Don't be surprised if they get into the public schools with it. I mean, the public schools have their agents in there looking for possible transgenders, looking for, really hard left people, They're looking for people with mental anxiety so they can help. It's all about helping you, when in reality it's all about destroying you. So you have to be very, very careful about that. But there's so many ridiculous stories in this. You know, I'm just going down the front page of this thing. And if you own a 206 Ranger pickup, don't drive it, Ford tells you. I don't know what's wrong with it, but they're telling you to stop driving it. Now, here's another story. We're going to run out of time. I'm not even partway down this page. Here's one. Jesus, I ain't got time. Anyways, here's a headline. First Nations entrepreneurs are asserting sovereignty and seizing the new cannabis economy. We used to have an economy that was, manufacturing and steel production and shoes and appliances and you name it, we made it. But apparently now we've devolved into the cannabis economy. And apparently the First Nations entrepreneurs are going to assert their sovereignty and are seizing the new cannabis economy. So they'll probably be able to sell weed on the reserves like they do smokes, but, and that will be basically cheaper because they won't have the government taxes on top of it. But you, Whitey, if you go onto the reserve and buy some weed and get busted with it, well, again, that would be illegal weed because you're not a native, and they'll haul your ass into jail one more time. This one here, if I got time for it, not your nan's pastor. New face of Pentecostal Church in St. John's, Jason Normore, recruited by the Pentecostal assemblies to find new ways to bring God's message. Now, this boy looks like a real cracker. A new church in downtown St. John's is putting a modern twist on religion and spirituality with a young pastor who found God after battling his own demons. Local church St. John is part of the Pentecostal Assemblies in Newfoundland, Labrador, and was looking for new ways to relate to those who may see traditional church as outdated. To get the idea going, the Assemblies recruited Jason Normore, who moved back to Newfoundland with his wife in September after studying theology in Toronto. Norman, who's from Gander, said he spent years trying to make it as a musician, abusing substances and going through what he calls bad experiences before regrounding himself with God. He said he felt a responsibility to help others like himself, those who perhaps long for a greater sense of community, but felt they didn't have a place in the traditional church. The streets are full of people who love the city, the love is heritage, and they deeply concerned about its future, he told St. John's Morning Show. I don't think that it's very far from who God is. God has often been painted as this person whose one concern is getting all of us to just leave Earth, go to heaven, and just forget about this place. Norman said many of the Bible's teachings are actually focused on making your own community and the Earth in general a better place. If you read the whole narrative, God is deeply concerned with renewing the earth. Right now, local church St. John's is just an idea. Normore is looking for input from anyone who's interested. He and his wife are hosting a brunch on Saturday, January the 27th, as a first step. While it remains to be seen what the church will look like as it evolves, it's all about evolution, folks. Normore hopes to tap into a desire for real community and relationships that might be missing in many people's 21st century lives. I think culture is at an interesting point in time where, unfortunately, the church has the choice to either stay in the past and die or learn to just be normal people and move forward, he said. I think all of my friends and all of the people we've met downtown are really over the facade of social media and secondhand living through TV or internet, and we're really just looking for what it actually means to be alive. Now, I grew up in the Pentecostal church. And I got the hell out of there about 1970, about the same time I got out of the school system, because I saw a screwball swing. Now, the Pentecostal church is totally hooked up with the international church system, and the whole idea of that is the end of the idea of Christianity. That's the whole plan. The idea is to move from the creator to the creation. And that's the same thing with the scientists moving to ecology. Okay, you're going to be an earth worshiper. This guy is too funny looking, man. I got to put this guy in here. But the whole thing, everything's been scam cityed on you, right? You know, Islam will be the new universal human rights, of which you will submit to, because that is the whole idea of Islam, is submission. And the idea is to get the world to submit to Islam, get rid of Christianity. It's been a thorn in Rome's side, even though they're the ones that were running it for a while until such time as the Reformation, when Martin Luther and the boys kicked Rome in the teeth, kicked Vatican in the teeth, and kicked Catholicism in the teeth. And we just, it was the 500th year, 2017 was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, of which you didn't see anything about in the media. You saw lots about LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter and all the rest of the bullshit and global warming and everything else. But you didn't see any mention of the 500th anniversary. Now that 500th anniversary is over, we're back to sin taxes again and all of the rest of the nonsense. And so 2018 is the year we either begin to push back or we submit, and we enter the realm of 1,000 years of tyranny. So the choice is ours, 1,000 years of tyranny or 1,000 years of freedom. You pick what you want, because that's what you're going to get. 1,000 years of tyranny, you don't have to do jack. You just sit back and watch TV sets and do whatever it is you're doing, and they will impose your 1,000 years of tyranny. If you don't want that, then you're going to have to step up to the plate, which is what I expect everyone in this nation to do. And I'm going to end on this because we're about out of time. If you have children in the public school, you have a duty to those children to get them the hell out of there. It is poison. Your children will be the beneficiaries, I guess, of the $100 million that was donated to the health department, because they're going to go out of their way to mentally mess up your children and physically mess up your children. And then they will be taken to these places for help. Now, $100 million for mental health and free drugs for everyone from the age of 0 to 25. Think about that. What kind of hope does your child have? Okay? It is satanic from the get-go. And, you know, I really want to kick that jackass in the face. You know, there's an old saying, get behind me, Satan. Right? Well, you get behind us. Okay, so we're going to clean the house. And we're going to get back to normal. Anyways, we're out of time. Take care, everybody. We're back. Let's see. Saturday night. On Revolution Radio. Everybody have a wonderful night. I'm going to go watch this film. Your face.